talk a little bit about what you think might help a dental practice become more efficient in the new economy that we have right now because of all of these different statistics and so on.
Yeah, you know, when I hear becoming more efficient, I think of being leaner, I think of being more profitable. You can take your existing patient base and you know, trim the fat. You can see where you're spending too much money with a great CPA and with the knowledge of what things should cost to run a practice, what your overhead should be. You can find where you may be spending a little too much money. With that then refound profit that you can either take home or leave in the business, I think it's smart to then reinvest that in your business and say, let's reinvest in some new technology, or let's have a smart marketing plan, an actual budget to devote towards marketing to then attract new patients to your lean, mean, efficient business.
I think the underlying theme of what you just said is you have to know your numbers. Yeah. And I would argue that there's a large portion of the industry that the only time they look at their numbers is when it's tax time and their accountant says, oh, by the way, you need to write a check for this much, you know, and send that to, you know, the tax man. And I think, you know, to your budget point, there should be tracking of everything, what's spent, marketing budgets, plans. Don't do shotgun approach type things, right? Because if you look at the successful practices that have evolved and have done well through this new economy, the one thing that they have in place is that they have a consistent 12-month marketing calendar, both internal and external, that they rely on, and they know every February we're running a Valentine's campaign and so on. And they are just plugging and playing those things consistently instead of, oh, I tried this company for 3 months, or I had my office manager run this direct mail campaign for just a month. And it's sort of that shotgun approach where you may get a quick boost, but then there's no repeatable system there and there's no repeatable action, which means cash flow suffers. You have the ebbs and flows. You feel like you're taking one step forward, two steps back. And I think a lot of folks can relate to that because, you know, we talk to thousands of dentists every day, and a lot of it is, I just can't seem to get any traction going. Mm-hmm. I'll have 1 month where my new patient numbers are very healthy and very good, and then another month where I'm wondering how I'm gonna meet the payroll. And so, to me, that's a direct reflection of the new economy and having those numbers in order, like you said. And so, what do you think, maybe let's give the folks a little bit about what are some of the critical statistics and numbers and math they should be looking at in their business without getting overly technical. What do you think some of the, you know, I don't know, top five or so might be?
Sure. So from a profit and loss statement, from an income statement that either your accountant prepares more formally or certainly just, you know, you run through QuickBooks and put an armchair one together.
Right.
There are some numbers. These should be looked at not just every year. Not even semi-annually is helpful, but you also may be missing the mark, especially from a marketing perspective or from ordering products and that sort of a thing. So quarterly is what I would recommend, whether, again, your CPA does this or you do this yourself. Some of the big things to look at for costs. The big ones, number one, without question, is the staff, is the team. That will take up between 20 and 30% of your overhead. So for every dollar in gross income that your practice collects, 30 cents of that dollar goes to paying your employees, or 20 to 30 cents. A more established practice with long-term employees, you're going to get closer to that 30%. A business that is younger, younger employees, haven't been there for a long time, closer to 20%. And that includes their entire package. The other big ones then are lab, which can be anywhere from 7 to 10%, depending on if you do big cases, can even go a little bit higher than that. Rent, this is national averages. I understand, you know, renting in New York City is not the same as renting in the, you know, Nebraska, but about 5% is a good target. And then your materials, you know, all of the cotton rolls and composites and all of those things should be between, say, 5 and 7%. These are just rough numbers. Those are the big ones to look at. Everything else would fall into place, and then hopefully the dentist is taking home, you know, maybe 40% would be nice. So that means a practice that's running at 60% overhead, they take home 40 cents on the dollar. Well, that's the dream.
Yeah, that's a great healthy number if you're
there.
It's
a good target.
Yeah.
Certainly a lot of practices fall short of that. But that would be something to look for. So then everything else fall, all of the other miscellaneous expenses fall in between that.
Yeah, and I think that's a great tip on the profit and loss. And I think to my tax man point, they don't know if they've made any money necessarily until it comes, you know, year's end, and then you're looking at it and you're like, oh, really, this didn't, you know, work out too well because I didn't save the cash flow to pay the taxes that I was supposed to. And you end up getting stuck in that rat race of every month. So if you're doing a quarterly P&L evaluation, I think that's healthy. I think if you can have a formal quarterly review from a CPA and then maybe have a QuickBooks one that you're checking on monthly, mm-hmm. so you can see your cash flow and you can see your overhead and your gross collections and things like that. I think, you know, doing a little bit of both of those things is very helpful because you're always taking the temperature of your practice if you're doing that. You're never surprised. There's never a moment where you're like wondering, you know, how the next month may be. And I think, you know, to dovetail off your point with the numbers thing, I think for us specifically, what we like to coach our clients on is calculating the lifetime value of a patient and understanding that that number is just as critical as to knowing your overhead number and making sure that you're running that P&L properly and you're getting the correct information, because that allows us to understand what are we willing to spend to acquire a new patient, which in my mind, that is how you evolve, because the really, really healthy practices who a lot of times you wonder, well, how are they spending so much on marketing and how is that, you know, how are they being so successful doing all of these different things? You know, they're doing Google AdWords, they're doing radio, they're doing direct mail, all these different things. Well, chances are they understand how to calculate that lifetime patient value, and they know, you know, say on average that they're worth $2,000. Well, they know I can go out and I can spend, you know, $1,000 and still be getting a continual flow there. And I think most of the folks that we consult with, we do have to help them work through that number and understand that your competition who is evolving knows all of these numbers, and this should be something that you're constantly checking on, because we do want to get that value up as well. So not only should you know it from a marketing standpoint, but you should know it because if it's $2,000 this year, we'd like to maybe get it to $2,500 the mm-hmm. following year, maybe adding additional services, bigger right. cases, you know, attracting better quality patients, you know, more fee for service type situations. So, you know, that puts my marketing hat on there, where you can understand that. And then you can begin to outspend your competition, right? Which you want to be the person that the other guy or gal can't figure out what they're doing. You want to be on the other side of that coin.